Hi, and welcome back to the Checkpoint Research Podcast. My name is Ran Levy. In this episode of our show, we'll be talking about Fortnite, or more specifically, Fortnite Battle Royale, one of the most popular video games of all time.
And how many people play Fortnite across the world?
Okay, so this is the key. So we are saying it's a game, but this is like huge infrastructure. We're talking about around 90 million players per day.
To date, over 250 million people around the world have played the game. For context, that's greater than the populations of UK, France, Italy, and Spain combined. As we shall soon hear, many of these players spend a lot of money on the game. Epic Games, the company behind the game, have already racked in a healthy $2 billion and counting. That is why when Checkpoint's researchers discovered in late 2018 a serious vulnerability that allowed attackers to take over a user's account and all the money and assets it contained by just having that user click a maliciously crafted link, well, this was real bad news. Really, Fortnite has graduated from a game into a cultural phenomenon. Celebrities played, including some of the world's most popular musicians. Drake, Travis Scott, the Jonas Brothers, and more. And some of the world's most popular athletes, like Antoine Griezmann. Fortnite had its own World Cup this year, with a viewing audience of over 2 million, and grand prizes of $3 million handed out to the winners. Griezmann, in comparison, would have taken home only around $500,000 for winning his World Cup. Back in December of last week, David Fitzdale, coach of the New York Knicks, told The Athletic magazine, quote, "Fortnite, that's my competitor now. Fortnite is tougher than the Boston Celtics." He was joking, but not joking at the same time. The Knicks, who, if you watch basketball, you'll know, didn't need any more problems than they already had, were really into Fortnite. Mitchell Robinson, the team's star rookie, admitted to it. Quote, "We'd be up all night to like 3 in the morning playing that game." The Knicks, coincidentally enough, had the worst record in the NBA last season, winning just 17 out of 82 games. It is not known how many battle royales the players won during that time. And it's not just NBA players who love games. Many security professionals have also started their journey in technology through games, although not always playing them the way their creators meant them to be played, if you know what I mean. Oded Vanunu is the head of product vulnerability research at Checkpoint, and he owes his first steps in vulnerability research to computer games.
But you know, I started my career as a kid as like someone that was really freaked out from technology and computer from hacking games.
Yeah. So you started with hacking games.
You know, when I was a kid, you know, when we played games when like, I don't know, it's like 30 years ago, it's like to play a game, you had to be like a coder. You had like 20 floppy disks and you had to enter to DOS and start like mess with the code and then after
kids today they don't appreciate
exactly and then like after half an hour that you start the game, you progress with the game and then you failed in the game and then you need to start from the beginning again. All this process and made me crazy, and I said I need to understand how I jump to stage 40 instead like beginning from stage 1. And then this was like starting my entire...
So it's a kind of closure for you.
Exactly.
catching vulnerabilities in games that you yourself once used.
Yeah, that was like my kickoff.
As Fortnite grew in popularity over the past 2 years, so too did it become a bigger and bigger target. But even more than its popularity, there's another reason why Fortnite is so lucrative to criminals. It has to do with how the game works. Fortnite is free to play. You can literally play hundreds of hours of Fortnite without spending a penny on it. So how does Epic Games make billions of dollars off a free game?
Their goal is to create every day new themes, new features, new weapons, new scenarios, new look and feel. And this is like keeping the audience alive and passionate for the game.
There's a culture around Fortnite that encourages people to buy new in-game merchandise that they can play around with and show off to their friends. These purchases are purely cosmetic. So you might wonder, why would anybody buy anything that doesn't actually matter in the game? Look, I don't know. Whatever Epic Games has done has worked. The game supports a huge in-game economy powered by its own computer currency called V-Bucks.
And one of the keys to solve the objective of Fortnite goal to have like a big revenue is that they created like a cryptocurrency of the game, which is called V-Bucks. This is the money of the game. And you convert like traditional money into V-Bucks, and then you can purchase like weapons, you can purchase like icons or people or players, and then you can have much more power and capabilities.
To give the audience a sense of the craziness of this new business, my kids alone have spent hundreds of dollars on Fortnite.
Yeah,
more than all the computer games they've ever bought combined. V-Bucks are the key part of what makes Fortnite accounts so hackable, V-Bucks, and the fact that every account must be associated with a credit card in order to buy those V-Bucks. Just think of my kid's account. It's associated with my credit card information, it possesses lots of in-game merchandise they bought with that credit card, as well as some leftover V-Bucks they'll use for more merchandise. Altogether, that amounts to well over $100 of value, plus my credit card. Imagine, then, the power somebody would have if they could simply hijack my kid's Fortnite account.
First of all, I have the money that I can use immediately. And if I have this account, I can start purchase a lot of weapons, and then you can transfer it to another account, which is like another fake account. And this fake account, transfer it to another account. And then there is starting to transfer thousands of dollars of merchandise to some kind of fake bots users, and then they start sell it on the internet.
And apart from selling the content of my account, the hackers could also sell the account itself, which Oded says could be a stepping stone to many other different types of attacks.
And we need to understand that in application world, in the era that we live today, era of cloud services and application that all replicate on the cloud, account takeover is one of the worst scenarios, because once I have the account, I'm controlling behind the scene this user.
Oded is certainly not the first person to have thought of how Fortnite can be weaponized. In fact, there's an entire black market that surrounds this game.
So in 2018, we started to get intelligence that Fortnite is becoming a money laundry operation. And then we said, what?
Money laundering is rampant in Fortnite. If you're unfamiliar with the term, money laundering refers to the process of making money generated by way of criminal activity appear to come from a legitimate source. In Fortnite's case, the hackers can siphon V-Bucks from compromised accounts, move them to other accounts, and from there sell them on eBay, Alibaba, or similar platforms. By 2018, between hijacked accounts, black market V-Buck trading, and credit card fraud, it had become clear that Epic Games had a security problem with their most popular title. So the Checkpoint research team decided to take a look at where the problems might be coming from.
So then we started to research the entire infrastructure and game flow of Fortnite from a perspective of authentications and understanding how the network is really working.
As the CPR team poked around the game's login process, trying to figure out what was making Fortnite accounts so easily hackable, they ended up finding a whole new category of vulnerability previously unknown to the game's developers. To better understand the vulnerability they found, let's first understand Epic Games' authentication process. A gamer who wants to log in to Fortnite is presented with two basic options: logging in with an email and password, or by authenticating to a trusted third party such as Google or Facebook. This latter option is known as SSO, short for single sign-on, meaning the user can log in to one service and then use this authentication with multiple services. Oded explains.
Today, the methods to authenticate it to Epic Games is using SSO technology. And what is SSO technology? Today, on every application that you use, you can log in as. Log in as Gmail, log in as Facebook, log in as Instagram, log in as PlayStation, etc. These are like big service provider.
So instead of creating a new user in Epic website, yeah. Epic's website, yeah. You can log in as a Google user, yeah, or Facebook user.
Yeah, and this is the trend today. Most of the authentication is like that because it's boring today to create application and then to start create like a user database. So it means that user that using the SSO service is let's say that is authenticated to Fortnite. So he's using, for example, Gmail. So there is API between the application and Gmail. And once I'm doing authenticated by Gmail, I am going to my application send request to Gmail. Gmail send me authentication request that I'm doing throughout Gmail. I'm not doing it through
You're authenticated to Gmail, yes. Not to Epic.
Yes, and once I'm success, Gmail sending via API token. And this token has nothing to do with my user and password, because my user and password is private and it's only with Gmail. But Gmail approved my authentication and they are sending Epic Game. Okay, he is authorized. This is his token. The token is like a big, big string
of numbers and characters.
Yes, exactly. And this token is validated, send it to Epic Game as Epic Game saying, okay, this user or dead, for example, and this is token. This was like successful. Now, once I will see this token, I know that it belongs to dead. And now this token is like a secret for all the application.
In other words, if, for example, the user selects Google as the authenticating agent, he or she will be taken to Google's login page, where they will be prompted to enter their credentials. If the authentication is valid, Google will send them back to Epic Games' server with an SSO token, and Epic will then redirect them automatically to the game server itself. That's the basic authentication process. It's essentially Epic Games asking Google or Facebook to authenticate the user for them.
And after investigating a few methods and scenarios, we come into multi-vector vulnerabilities that really replicate or explain to us how malicious actor really took accounts or hijack accounts.
What Oded means by multi-vector is that the exploit he's talking about has multiple steps to it, more than one type of attack combined together into an even more powerful attack.
The two multi-vector attacks that were involved is, first of all, something that's called cross-site scripting on a subdomain that was belonged to Epic Games.
Cross-site scripting is the most common vulnerability on the internet today because of how websites use JavaScript. Say you visit a website and you type a keyword into its search bar. Underneath the hood, your keyword will be processed through a JavaScript function, which will return results as it was designed to do. Simple. But what if, instead of typing a keyword, you typed code into that search bar? It looks like code, it smells like code, and so the web page will read it as code. But it would be madness if just anybody could write code into any website they visited. Imagine Google, if anybody could tell it what to do. A web page needs some way of sanitizing the information it receives, of saying to itself, don't execute this as code. If the information fed to the website through a search bar, in our case, is not sanitized, this means that malicious attackers can hijack the website and make the server run the script they provided. In other words, the website is vulnerable to cross-site scripting. The team's first objective, then, was to find a website in Epic Games Network which was vulnerable to such an attack.
To build the application, you must use a lot of subdomains, a lot of URLs, a lot of logics between pages. And
for example, accounts.epic.com.
Exactly.
That's a subdomain.
Exactly.
Subdomains are like rooms in a house, defined areas where unique components of a larger website take place. Once upon a time, ut2004stats.epicgames.com was a popular subdomain of Epic Games' web infrastructure, used to list user stats for the company's Unreal Tournament game. But that was a decade and a half ago, and now, like an abandoned attic, it was simply catching dust, waiting for bats to move in.
So we found a cross-site scripting vulnerability on one of the subdomains, which means that we can inject HTML code, and this HTML code can do whatever we want, because there is no sanitation from the server-side application that say, okay, I'm just getting this input, and that's it.
The subdomain's cross-site scripting vulnerability allowed the CPR team to walk into the abandoned attic and set up shop. They had an Epic Games subdomains all to themselves to run almost whatever code they wished it to run.
Because today we live in a world that of multi-vector attack, meaning that you start with simple vulnerability, can leverage it to activate another step vulnerability, mm-hmm. that this vulnerability provide you more permissions. This is like the tricks. This is like multi-vector vulnerability. This is most of the things that we see today.
Having set their base of operations, Oded and his team now needed to find a weak point in Epic's framework, which would allow them to leverage the cross-site scripting vulnerability to crack Fortnite accounts. It was one member of the team who had an idea. To look into the login portal's SSO login feature. It turned out that Epic's implementation of the SSO mechanism had a small flaw in it that allowed an attacker with access to an cross-site scripting hacked subdomain of Epic to divert the SSO token so it was sent to the attacker as well.
We had a vulnerability of cross-site scripting from accounts.epicgames.com, which is
the login domain, yes, exactly. of Epic.
And this allows us to inject HTML code that exploits another vulnerability on the SSO implementation of Epic Games. And the vulnerability on the SSO implementation, it's that it allows us to manipulate where to send the token. And this allows us to redirect the token also to us.
The hacked subdomain, UT2004stats, is essentially shoved into the line of communication between the Epic Games login portal and the SSO login providers like Facebook and Google. The hacked subdomain requests and receives the same login SSO token that the official site gets. since the SSO token is the proof that the user is who he or she says they are, the attacker can now waltz into the user's account and take it over. This is the essence of a multi-vector attack. Combining a flaw in the SSO login process, an unsanitized search bar, and a long-forgotten subdomain into one masterfully crafted and highly powerful attack that starts with a single click on a link. It's a bit like moving different chess pieces on a board to deal a deadly checkmate. When you hear hackers talk about the beauty and elegance of a skillful hack, I think that's what they're talking about. And what's more, it's not just that CPR is able to siphon off a user's SSO login token, though. They're doing it entirely under the radar because the malicious link sent to the user is basically the same link that a user would click on when pressing the login button at Epic's website.
This allows malicious user to craft a URL that is coming from Epic Game domain, which means that any security control will not suspect it, because this is coming from the game domain, which means it's like whitelist.
Because Oded set up the malicious drop point at an Epic Games subdomain, no alarms were raised. It's like dressing up as a bank teller in order to steal money from a bank. At this point then, Oded and his team were able to successfully exploit two Epic Games subdomains in order to covertly steal the authentication token associated with a Fortnite's player's account. With a hijacked account, a criminal can buy V-Bucks and in-game merchandise and then sell them off at the black market for cash. But it gets worse than that. Hacked accounts can also be used as a launch point to initiate more and more account takeovers.
So, for example, if I'm targeting some kind of account, then it means that I'm starting to get really good access to the network of this account, and then I can start to move to another account, and then I can start to move to another account. And then I can say something like that: hey, I have 100 V-Bucks ready for you. Click this link. And I can push it on any social media or also on Epic Games domain, and everyone that will see it see that it's coming from Epic Games. And once they click it, that's it. Behind the scene, the token is being sent to the malicious users.
What would you do if you saw a message from your friend telling you about a deal that you'd be interested in? I'm not sure that most of us would be careful enough not to click on that dirty link. And we're adults who know a thing or two about security. The demographic of this podcast and the demographic of Fortnite are rather different.
We need to understand that most of the players are kids. And this, from the beginning, provide like a vulnerable people, more vulnerable people. And the logic of the game is that you use your microphone, sometimes camera, and you have a big network. And most of the game, you're talking with people. You chat with people, you exchange links, you exchange information. And this is like the best infrastructure for malicious actor.
After Checkpoint brought their cross-site scripting SSO vulnerability to Epic Games' attention, the developers quickly patched their site to account for the problem. Still, because of the popularity of their game, its value to cyber criminals, and the typical demographic of their user base, Epic Games cannot on their own protect all their users from all possible cyber threats. There are still fake websites out there drawing in unsuspecting players, offering rare merchandise and cheap V-Bucks.
As parents, I think that's there is like something that we called and most of the applications have this ability. It's called two-factor authentication. It's meaning that if I'm authenticated to some kind of application, I need to get another factor, usually on email or SMS. And this factor is another key that is like random, generic, and I'm getting it. So it means that if someone is hijacking my account, the second factor will be sent directly to me, to my phone.
The objective in a game of Fortnite Battle Royale is to survive. To stay alive as long as you can until you're the only player left in the game. In order to do this, players must gather weapons, take cover, and build structures around them in order to better leverage themselves against incoming attacks. The objective in cybersecurity is to stay secure. To gather knowledge, stay cautious, and use tools like two-factor authentication to better protect yourself from attackers. Tens of millions of people around the world would be well suited to apply the lessons they've learned in Fortnite outside of Fortnite. You and I would too. Thanks for listening to the Checkpoint Research Podcast, written and researched by Nate Nelson, edited and narrated by me, Ran Levy. See you next time.
Checkpoint's mobile solutions can protect against the attack described in this podcast. Learn how you could protect your device from malicious and invasive mobile malware. For enterprises, read more about Checkpoint's Sandblast Mobile by visiting www.checkpoint.com/products/mobile-security. And for consumers, Checkpoint's Zone Alarm Mobile by visiting www.zonealarm.com. Thanks for listening.